I'd like to welcome everyone here tonight. Really appreciate those hymns of faith that you chose, Earl, especially that last one, Faith is the Victory, because it is true. Our faith in God is the victory that we have. It has been won by Jesus Christ, by his sacrifice on the cross for our sins. I believe there's nothing more important than our faith and to be faithful. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. There are many people that will proclaim goodness, their goodness, but faithful people are not easily found. In Proverbs, we read, many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man? A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. And we see in the world today that many people so-called toot their own horn and talk about their good works and how they're a fine, upstanding citizen and all. But when we look at people's lives and the fruit that they bear, and we talked a little bit about fruits of the Spirit this morning, we can see that it's not just those who convert others to their way of thinking, but it's fruits of the Spirit in which are described by Scripture here. As we inspect their fruit in the light of the truth, we learn that not all who proclaim to be faithful are truly faithful. And I just want to quickly read the fruits of the Spirit so that we have an idea of what we're looking at. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So then you will know them by their faith, and you shall know them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And tonight I'd like to look at five different characteristics of faithful people. A faithful person will not lie. They will be honest in all of their dealings. In Proverbs we read, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will speak lies. And anytime I read things like this about those who are honest and true, and then those who love to tell a lie, I think about arguments like creation versus evolution. And Leslie has done a great job on giving us a good background on evolution and versus creation. And here are people that will lie in the face of scientific fact, of course, they in the face of spiritual fact also, that bears out how the earth was created. I worked for Ingalls when I first moved up here in 1980. I worked for Ingalls for about 8 years, and I worked for a certain store manager. I'm not going to mention his name. But it was really an enlightening experience. This guy would lie for about everything. I mean, had absolutely no credibility in the store. And I often used to tell the other meat cutters, I really believe if that man was to tell a completely truthful statement, his tongue would turn black and fall out of his mouth. The guy would just, I mean, he would tell lies even when it was to his disadvantage. The guy just couldn't help but to twist the truth, to deceive, to mislead people. And for what reason? The only reason I can feel is that he was small in stature and that gave him a feeling of control. And most people who lie do that. They have some sort of control over what is being said, and unfortunately, it's to a negative way. But we also see that Paul admonishes the Christians in Colossae, do not lie to one another, since you lay aside the old self with its evil practices. One thing I've learned, and I learned this a long time ago, and that is to always be truthful, especially with my daughters, knowing that their souls were entrusted to me. I always made sure that no matter what the subject was, whatever questions they had, I never lied to them. And to this day, they can tell you, you may not agree with what my dad says and his viewpoints on things, but boy, he'll tell you the truth. And I've never lied to my daughters to this day, and I hope never to have to lie to them in the future, but always to be truthful to one another. And I believe this is more so with Christians, because we are like a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we should be truthful, not just in not speaking a verbal lie, but also in our dealings with one another. We should be truthful and honest in all things. We know how much God hates liars. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, God has a special place, or has a place, for liars, for those who make a lie. And we know that the devil is the father of all lies. And so it's important that we are truthful and honest in our dealings with one another and also with the world. The second characteristic I'd like for us to take a look at is I'll get the hang of this thing. Faithful people will be faithful over things entrusted to them. And it was just a little while back that Joe had done a study on in Matthew about the those three servants that were brought before him. And I'm not going to go in and read the entire scripture. I am going to read verse 14 and verse 15. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2 talents, 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. And that is what God has done with us. We have talents and abilities. God has blessed us with certain things that he has entrusted to us, and he expects a good return on those things that he has entrusted to us. Each man was given a certain amount according to, like I said, according to his ability, not more than what he could handle. And God expects us to be faithful over those things. And he expects us to use them wisely and not for selfish reason, but for the spread of the gospel. Our souls and our possessions are included in these things that God has entrusted to us. So we need to be faithful in everything that God has given for our keeping. And whatever we do, we should do it faithfully. Just go through this real quick here. In 3 John, verses 5 and 6, Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers, and they bear witness to your love before the church, and you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Our relationship to one another is very important to God, and how we treat one another and how we act toward one another. Our life is an open book, and it should be an open book, to our brethren, because our hearts are an open book to God. God knows the intentions of our hearts. The third characteristic I'd like for us to look at, Joe and the other men who get up here and know this thing, they can do this so easily, and it just flows with them, and I am just struggling. But faithful people will abound with blessings. In Proverbs, we're going to read that a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. Being rich is not our goal. Being faithful to God is our goal. And along the way, God is going to bless us. I believe God blesses us in material things, physical things, but he also blesses us with spiritual things, which is much more important. I really like this passage of Scripture because I have seen this played out in my life. This is taken from Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. Jesus said, Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age and houses, and brothers, and sisters, and mothers, and fathers, and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. When our girls were small, and we would take them on a family trip, which really wasn't all that often, it was like every 2 or 3 years that we could afford it, unless we were going down to see my wife's sister down in Georgia, we would always call ahead to whatever city or town we were going to locate a strong, faithful congregation, and contact the preacher there or an elder or a deacon and find out directions to the building, and so that we could always worship with them on the Lord's Day. And in doing so, many times, the brethren there after the morning worship service, we were invited back to their home for a meal or told that they were going, two or three couples were going to meet at a certain restaurant and that we could share a meal with them there. That was really enjoyable to know that you could go to a strange town, strange city, and that there were people of like faith that truly love one another and loved me because I had obeyed the gospel the same as them. So what I believe Jesus is saying here is that our natural family may turn against us, and our natural family may not embrace our faith toward God. But in losing them, or maybe not having such a close relationship with them, we can have an even closer relationship with many brothers and sisters in Christ. Come on now. Okay. We are to promise have all our, you know, again, going back to having blessings in this life. The fact that a man is faithful and will abound with blessings, that does not always mean that we will have everything that we want. But we are promised to have all of our needs met. And in Psalms 37 and verse 25, we read, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. And this again goes to back to what faith in God is all about. It's being loyal to him, faithful to him. And in doing so, he will take care of us. He will take care of our physical needs. But again, not that we might use those physical blessings for our own selfish reasons. But not only our physical needs, but our spiritual needs will be supplied also. Paul writes to the Ephesians, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You know, these spiritual blessings are not just a feel-good type thing or a confidence. I mean, it is a confidence, but we have forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. We have the right example of righteous living before God. We find how we are to treat our neighbors and how we are to treat our enemies through the example of Jesus Christ. And we're also taught how to pray to God. Christ has left us an example in which we are to follow. The fourth characteristic I'd like for us to look at. Faithful people will be able to teach others the gospel. So important. Come on now. Paul writes to Timothy, and he exhorts Timothy to pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. It's important that when we do bring the gospel to others, or as we're bringing the gospel to others, we not only teach them, but we teach ourselves. And in teaching ourselves, our knowledge of the gospels and the scriptures grow, and our confidence grows also. Faithful people are deeply concerned about the teaching of others the gospel of Christ. And the main reason why is because, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. This is what life is all about. When we live here on this earth, we don't do anything other, if we accomplish nothing other than having our relationship right with God, obtaining heaven, then our life has been for naught. It's been a waste. This is the most important thing that I think we as Christians can do for others, is to teach them the gospel. Those who are faithful will endeavor to teach others the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is able to save them from eternal suffering. Mark records for us the words of our Lord, And he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Very simply put, that's the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. His sacrifice on the cross and our obedience to the plan of salvation is what ensures us of eternal blessings. The fifth and final characteristic that we want to look at is faithful people will obey God and are patient servants. And the Hebrew writer tells us, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. I had a conversation recently with another security officer on the job about 2 weeks ago. And in that conversation that we had, he believed that there was a supreme being, that there was a God, but it wasn't the God of the Bible. He doesn't believe that God spoke things into existence. He didn't believe that God was all-powerful and awesome. He believed that there was some higher spiritual being and that we should try to do good on earth. But as Hebrews tells us here, we must believe that God is. God is who he says he is in the Bible. I also recently talked to someone that believed that Jesus Christ was a good man, an honest man, and tried to do many good things, but just couldn't believe that he really was the Son of God. My response to him was, Jesus Christ was who he said he was, or he was one of the biggest deceivers and liars that has ever been born. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And to say that he was a good man, but yet wasn't God in the flesh, is to lie. Is to lie to yourself. Patience. I think about those who are faithful and patient in their service to God. And in Luke, the second chapter, verse 36, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. And she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all of those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, this is when Mary and Joseph presented Jesus at the temple when he was an infant. And the same thing there, patience, waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem, waiting for God to restore Israel, but in a spiritual sense, not a physical sense. And I think about a woman like this that for 84 years continued to serve God in a patient and faithful way. This is going to be our last verse that we're going to look at. I really enjoy this verse. This is one of my most favorite verses in Scripture. And it's taken from Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 29. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. When I read this verse, and I look at the chaos and confusion that's going on throughout the world, I realize God is in control. God's always in control, always has been. We as Christians, being faithful, have to be patient. We have to understand that our time, or in our timing, is not God's timing. But a review of Scripture, and as I read throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament, God's timing is perfect. It's always when it should be. Jesus came at the right time to be the sacrifice for mankind and to give us a home in heaven. What am I doing wrong here, Rick? I wanted to get to... Oh, that's right. We don't have the song. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Thank you for your patience tonight. I truly enjoy doing this lesson on faithful people that are in Scripture. And in doing so, I'm greatly blessed. Before I got up here tonight, I was telling Earl, I said, boy, for some reason I'm really nervous tonight. I feel like I'm getting ready to go out there and call a wrestling match. And he says, there's no need to be because you're among friends. And that's true. You know, we have brothers and sisters here, and it does. It makes it much more easier. It's like talking in a living room or something of that nature. faithfulness. Faithfulness toward God. Our faith toward God. It is something that we do each and every day. It's something that sometimes can be very difficult, especially in certain circles with different, you know, certain people. When I think about what Jesus did and how he walked on this earth and the example that he left for us, and I see the men and women of Scripture and their faith, it encourages me. It emboldens me. And so I hope tonight's lesson was one of encouragement as well as one of to make us bold and to continue our walk in faith. This life is short. It is really short. I'm 56 years old, and I never thought that I would... I don't know. I never looked at myself when I was in my 20s and what I would be like and think and things of that nature. But I look back on my life now, and it's gone in a flash. I've got three daughters that are in their 30s, and that's really incredible. I was talking to Bonnie earlier this evening, and I was asking her about Donna Lee, and I look at Donna Lee Sister Elise out, that, you know, is 106. That seems like a really long time, but it's really so short. So to be faithful to God in this lifetime is so brief. And the trials and tribulations and the hardships that come upon us, the obstacles that we have to face each and every day, are nothing to be compared to the blessings that await us in heaven. And that in and of itself is a great encouragement to me. Thank you for your patience tonight. And again, I hope that tonight's lesson was of encouragement to you. If there is anything that we can do this evening, if anybody responding to the gospel call, we have that opportunity as we stand and sing.